Heavenly Father, thank you that you have the words of life in the Bible. Thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd and that through him that we do have life. Pray for Phil today as he holds out those words to us, and pray for us as we listen, digest, and think through what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, the reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 10, reading from verse 22. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Hello everyone, good to see you. We're a small bunch today, so heckling is allowed. You know, I think if you want to just shout out a question, feel free to do that. We're not always this weird and this small, so it is the tube strikes. It's great to see a few new faces among us. And just to say, just to add to what Alfie said, this is the second to last of our times in this pub. So don't come back after next week. And you probably need to get on the mailing list. We send an email out once a week. There's an email to just let me know. My email's on the sort of the handout, and then you'll get the information as to when and where we're going. We're hoping to move to the Globe pub just on the corner after Easter, so that's where we're heading. Good, let me just say a quick prayer and then we can start. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this time together, and we do pray, please, as we look at these words, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit and through your word. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. There's an outline on the back of your sheet, which you may find helpful. Our subject today is, in posh words, is the sovereignty of God in salvation and predestination. In less posh words, it is, how in charge of salvation is God? I wonder, have you asked that question? The answer I think we're going to see is much more than we think. And in fact, much more than most Christians think. I've been a Christian for years before I realised just how in charge of salvation is. I think it takes us a long time if we're Christian to realise it. And we're going to see that he is totally and utterly, perhaps uncomfortably, in charge of everything. If we're honest, on the ground it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like God is in charge of salvation, does it? So true Christianity looks weak, widely rejected. You guys, if you are Christian, I hope there are people here who... We love it when all kinds of people come in, that these talks are for everyone. So there may well be people who are just looking into things. But if you are Christian, you'll know that in your workplace it feels like you're just one of maybe a tiny bunch. True Christianity, widely rejected around us. Universities are packed with academics, most of whom would dismiss the Bible, as man-made, even in the theology departments. Is it credible to be a Christian today? So often it seems not. Are God's plans on track? So often it seems they're in tatters. But we can find ourselves thinking, if Jesus really is Lord, who he says he is, the Son from the Father, come to bring life, why does he seem to have so little effect on so many? Have you asked that question? Why does Jesus seem to have so little effect on so many if he is who he says he is? It's especially noticeable, and you may have had this, When people have heard the gospel, many people haven't heard much about Jesus. It's especially noticeable, isn't it, that when people have heard it, like perhaps again and again and again, they've heard exactly what you've heard if you're a Christian, and yet nothing. No response. No impact. You will know people in your lives for whom that is the case. And the thing is, it was no different back then. That might come as a surprise. It was no different back then. Just look down again at this amazing scene in verse 22. So it's at the time of the Feast of Dedication. That's Hanukkah, celebrated still today by the Jewish community. The Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter. And Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Now, this seems like a reasonable question on the surface, doesn't it? Here are the Jews gathered round him. A reasonable question. "Jesus, if you are the Messiah that we've been waiting for, please show us more clearly." In their mind, the problem has to do with clarity and the persuasiveness of Jesus' revelation of himself. Please tell us plainly. Please show us more clearly. But the problem is that this is 2.5 years into Jesus' 3-year ministry. In 4 months' time, he's going to die on a cross. That's the context. That's where we are in John's Gospel, chapter 10. Most of the way through Jesus' public ministry, he has not withheld his identity from them. Repeatedly, he's referred to himself publicly as the Son of God, "My Father's house," chapter 2, "the Son of God," chapter 5. By this stage, they've already, the Jews, in chapter 8, we won't go there now, but they've already picked up stones to stone him because they understood that he was claiming equality with God when he said, "Before Abraham was, I am," chapter 8. And they do it again at the end of this conversation. Just have a look at verse 30. Jesus says, "I and the Father are one." How much more plainly could he tell them than that? And they pick up stones to stone him. So what we're meant to understand, John the Gospel writer is showing us, the problem is not to do with the clarity of Jesus' revelation. That is why in verse 25 Jesus said, "I have told you and you do not believe. I've told you with my words. I've told you with my deeds." Verse 25, "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness about me, my miracles." There's been no lack of clarity. And so here are the Jews, his own people, 2.5 years into his ministry. They've seen his public works. They've heard his public words. They, as it were, if you're sort of to use a cinema analogy, have had a front row seat to the glory of the Son of God. What is their response? Meh. Unconvinced. "If only you would give us more clarity, Jesus, then we might believe. Better evidence." You heard that one? "The fault is with Jesus," they said. Very contemporary, isn't it? In response to this, there are two jaw-dropping realities that Jesus reveals. And I wonder if we can see them. And they change the whole way we see the world. And they have to do with how in control and in charge God is with salvation. Two realities. The first one, those who hear and do not believe do so because they are not his sheep. Just look at these extraordinary words in verse 26. "You do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Unbelief is no surprise to God. Their unbelief was no surprise to Jesus. The implication here, by the way, is that the world is like a sheep pen filled with spiritual sheep. That is one of the fundamental realities that Jesus is teaching in John chapter 10. That is the implication, I think, here where he says, you are not among my sheep. You are spiritual sheep. You're following someone into eternity, but you are not mine. And that is why you don't believe me. The only question is, which flock? The city, full of spiritual sheep. The only question is which flock? By the way, this is completely the other way round to how we would phrase it. Just look again at verse 26. How would we write verse 26? And it's hugely important, the difference. We would write, the reason you're not my sheep is because you don't believe. He doesn't say that. He says, the reason you don't believe is because you're not my sheep. You see the difference? Their response is predetermined. Why do I say that? Well, sheep operate on voice recognition. I tried this. I don't know if you've ever tried this. I was walking in a field in Wales. I was on my own. I'm glad I was. It's very embarrassing because I knew I was going to be speaking on John chapter 10. So there were some sheep. And I cried out to them, you know, sheep, come here, follow me. And I'm glad there was no one else there. And it was extremely embarrassing because I looked at the extraordinary thing was that the sheep, not only did they not come, there was nothing, not even the pricking up of an ear. They just kept eating the grass. Sheep operate on voice recognition. We've seen this about Jesus's sheep in verse 4. Jesus says, my sheep follow me, for they know my voice. The point here, though, is it also works the other way around. That those who are not his sheep simply cannot recognize the voice of the shepherd, like those sheep in Wales. They are deaf to it. The sound goes into the ears, the sound waves, but makes no impact on them. And so what are we seeing here? The point that Jesus is making to all who hear his words and do not believe, both then and today, Jesus says, you do not believe because you are not my sheep. Isn't that extraordinary? There will be baffling, entrenched, irrational unbelief that just seems deaf. I don't know if you can think of, you probably can think of examples. Just seems deaf to the compelling voice of Jesus, though he is the shepherd. Jesus says that that is because the world is full of spiritual sheep and there are two flocks. The city seems full of different groupings, doesn't it? We've got L&G and Schroeder's and Slaughter and May and various others. These are the groupings that seem most important, perhaps. But actually, no. There are two flocks in the city. The city is full of spiritual sheep. And therefore, their unbelief was no surprise to Jesus. He knew they wouldn't believe because they're not his sheep. It's interesting, Jesus is speaking, I think, very corporately, isn't he, at this point, to the Jews as that generation. It wasn't just to individuals, it was corporate, very general, to the Jews of that generation. Would he not therefore say to the secular West today, insofar as it has heard the gospel and rejected, you do not believe because you are not my sheep? Not because there's anything wrong with me, not because I'm not the shepherd, but because you cannot hear my voice. Well, we began with the question, how in charge of salvation is God? The answer, much more than we think. Secondly, and the second point, and I think this is probably the major point of these verses, coming on to verses 27 to 30. The second point, God is unstoppably gathering his flock and bringing them to be with him in life. Yes, there are those who are not his sheep who will not listen, but God is unstoppably gathering his flock and bringing them to be with him in life forever. I think this is just really the obviously the point, isn't it? Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me. Not they might follow me, they do follow me, they will follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. He is unstoppably gathering his flock and bringing them to be with him forever in life. The point again is that God is much more in charge of salvation than we think. He has ordained it from start to finish. There is past, present and future in these verses. I just want to pause on past, present and future. His sheep are chosen in the past, gathered in the present, and brought into the future. Firstly, chosen in the past. This logically has to be the case. Did you see those words? Easy to miss in verse 29. My Father who has given them to me. My Father who has given them to me. That is the sheep. What is this saying? The Father has given his precious sheep to the Son. This is a big theme in John's Gospel. I just want us to see this. Could you turn to chapter 17 as well? I just want us to read out a couple of more verses where Jesus says exactly the same thing. Chapter 17, verse 6. He says, I have manifested your name to your people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, that is yours the Father's, and you gave them to me. Verse 6. Verse 9, 17 verse 9, I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given to me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. I'm glorified in them. Chapter 17, verse 9. And then chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me before you loved me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Very clear. The Father has given his sheep to the Son. It's an extraordinary idea. I don't know if you've ever entrusted something precious to someone else. I had the experience of doing this the other day with my car key. We don't have a spare. We should, but we don't. I keep meaning to do it, but it's just one of those things that never happens, to go and get sort that out. So we got one key. If we lose it, we're in trouble. And I handed it to my 8-year-old son. Don't worry, not to drive the thing before you report me for terrible parenting, just to get a football out of the boot. But I remember the feeling as I handed over this key. You know, I was just thinking, yeah, don't lose this, it's precious. That's a Citroen C4 Picasso we're talking about. He didn't lose it, it was fine. A trite example, perhaps, of something precious to hand, you're handing over. Or maybe a better example from the other side. If you're given care of something that you know is precious to someone else. Have you ever had that? I mean, the most obvious example is a child, right? You ever been given care of a child to look after for half a day? You go onto hyper alert, and for some reason, you know, you're like, you're even more kind of concerned about this child. And you know, when you're driving, driving with other people's children in the car, you suddenly sort of think, I'm driving more carefully now. I don't know why I'm not doing it for my own kids, but you're driving more carefully for it's precious cargo. Now, that is the point. What's going on here? Okay, the Father has given the Son a precious charge. His sheep. Son, I want you to look after these. They're precious to me. I want you to lay down your life for them. I want you to keep them. Isn't it extraordinary he's given them to the Son as a gift? And you could think about what could he have given to the Son? What could have been that precious charge? Angels? Realms? Kingdoms? No. The sheep. My people. Isn't that extraordinary? You could think about that for a while, couldn't you? There's a lot of talk about self-worth and value in the city. I guess people are seeking a sense of significance and value all around you in their achievements and their career path. It's all over social media, and this idea of of a lack of self-worth, where can we find it? But if we're Christian, and if you become a Christian, look no further than this. Do you realize how precious you are to God the Father and the Son? No, you don't, actually. These words are written so that you might. He wants you to realize it. But someone says, is this really about being chosen? Well, it must be, mustn't it? Must be. That's why Jesus says in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, I know them. Why does he know them? He knows them in advance because his Father has selected and chosen them and given them to him. He knows who they are. Sometimes you get asked why you're a Christian. And, you know, my normal answer, I think, unthinkingly, is normally just to say, well, I heard about Jesus and I believed in him. But actually, the answer, more fundamentally, is because I've been given as a gift from Father to Son by grace. Don't deserve it. It's extraordinary. Are we talking about predestination here? Yes, we are. God is more in charge of salvation than we think. In the past, his sheep are chosen, given, known. In the present, secondly, in the present, gathered, verse 27, as they hear the voice of the shepherd and follow, the inevitable, unstoppable thing of they follow because of voice recognition. My sheep will follow me. And by the way, that is what's happening across the world today. God has chosen his sheep in the past. In the present, he is gathering them. How? Through the voice of the shepherd in the scriptures. My sheep will hear my voice. Every single one of them will follow. not they might follow. They will follow. Because they're my sheep. Many will remain deaf, as they do. But the sheep are following. Notice also in the present, as the sheep hear and follow, verse 28, the Son gives them eternal life. They don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. He gives it to them as a gift. Chosen in the past, gathered in the present, given eternal life. And then finally, brought into the future, verse 28. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. What is the point? The point is that God is unstoppably gathering and bringing his flock to be with him forever in life. I don't know if you've ever held a child in a dangerous situation, say. The one that springs to mind for me is they often want to look over a bridge. You know, you might be crossing a river or something and they need to be lifted up. And, you know, this is just, you just grip, don't you, onto them at that point, or you're crossing a road. Well, can you see this double grip that the Father and the Son have on his people? First, the Son. No one can snatch them out of my hand, says the eternal, divine Son of God. And I love this. Like a proud son, Jesus says, if you thought my grip was strong, check out my dad's grip. Verse 29. My Father is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of his hand. The double grip of Father and Son on each of their sheep. The Father is not greater in divinity. He is not more God than the Son. The Son is fully God.